The Kraft Music Hall with Bing Crosby, Judy Allen, John Scott, and his orchestra. The music man welcome visitor for this evening, Frank McHugh. And here are Judy Allen and Bing Crosby.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye.
And it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
All the cattle are standing like statues.
All the cattle are standing like statues.
They don't turn their heads as they see me ride by, but a little brown maverick is winking her eye.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful day.
All the sounds of the earth are like music.
All the sounds of the earth are like music.
The breeze is so busy, it don't miss a tree.
And an old weeping willow is laughing.
What a beautiful morning.
Oh, what a beautiful day.
Da, 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 da. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's wonderful. Everything's beautiful. Everything's going.
This is Bing Crosby, friends, in the old Kraft Music Hall, getting a shortwave jaunt to the accent acres of the world. You know, when we stop to think that in every corner of
goodbye.
The globe, whether you...
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
No, I'm not leaving. I'm just saying goodbye to a relative. Goodbye.
Hey, wait. You have to holler like that?
Oh, yeah, he's a distant relative. Goodbye.
I wish you'd join him, making an excursion or something.
You wouldn't talk like that after I become famous.
What, you mean notorious?
No. Don't you know a guy can get famous by just jumping off the Brooklyn Bridge?
I'll buy that.
Oh, right. He could have quintuplets, you know, five daughters.
I'll buy that. I think
I'm going to write a book.
No sale.
Oh.
Imagine Yuki writing a book. Little Yuki. That's wonderful.
Listen, you know, when it comes to writing, I've got something that Shakespeare didn't even have.
What's that?
A typewriter. What's the book going to be about, you see? My life.
It's very commercial. There's a big market now for horror stories.
Somehow, you know, I can't imagine you writing a book about yourself, you see. You don't know enough important people.
Oh, no, Judy, just a minute. You're wrong there. I'll have to speak for Yuki on this.
Well, you don't have to, Bing. Look, Miss Irwin, you know that famous picture of Frankenstein meets the Wolfman?
Yes.
Yuki introduced it.
Yes. You know, I expect to mention all my friends in the book. One friend on every page.
What's on page two?
My picture.
Great sentence.
Well, of course, there's one important thing about writing a book, Yuki. There's one thing you have to have.
What?
You have to have a publisher.
Oh, I have one.
Who?
Simon and...
Simon and who?
Simon and...
Well, I've heard of Simon, but who's...
Silent Partner.
I think when he hears his partner's publishing your book, we're going to hear from him.
Well, why condemn my book before you've even seen it?
Probably condemning it before you've even written it, huh?
Jackson.
How much of it have you got?
Just the title.
What's it called?
Inside Yuki.
You know what you need for that thing, really, just of course, to export it, you need a musical foreword. I'll write you one.
Oh, don't go to any trouble.
No trouble. I'll knock it right off. How's this? Yeah. Here is a book. Over the book. What a very special book. Written by a little snook. Just a little snook named Yook. You better read this book.
Nice. Nice foreword, huh?
Who wrote that foreword in Hope's book?
You mean the flattering one in They Got Me Covered?
Yeah, that flattering one that was signed by you. Who wrote it?
Hope. I think he's my man.
See him. Why, Yuki waits Hope's return from North Africa, we turn to a tune written by one of our KMH colleagues, Perry Bodkin, John Scott Trotter's able guitarist. Perry wrote this in cahoots with a couple of servicemen, a couple of boys named Schwartz and Bushala. They call it Riding Herd on a Cloud. This old world is stampeding. Tell a lad what it's needing is a cowhand in the sky. So I'm cool, open doggy. Let's corral those actors bogey. Give me a horse that can fly. Now he's riding herd on a cloud tonight. Left his spurs in his saddle on the range with his cattle, and he's now in flight with a crew of hardy hustlers on the lookout for some rustlers who might be sneaking up on a ghost town. There's his horse up in trade for a course on how to saddle a plane and fly. Now he's in for the duration, high-high yipping information with the cowboys of the sky. Someone back home to a mighty proud. Wait for him riding home on a cloud tonight.
Paul,
thank you.
Like a ten?
Oh, very nice.
Is that all you have to say?
Hardly.
They come up with something.
Well, these days, conscientious homemakers are being especially careful not to waste any food. For food is a vital weapon of war. It's our duty to use all we have, even the smallest leftovers. Salads are one of the best of all ways to use small amounts of leftover vegetables. You'll find almost any vegetable tastes good together in a salad with Miracle Whip. Miracle Whip has an utterly different, delightful flavor you get in no other dressing, a flavor that's made it America's big favorite. Miracle Whip combines the qualities of zesty boiled dressing and fine mayonnaise. You just don't know what treat your nutritious salad can be till you taste them with Miracle Whip. Look for it at your food store. Creamy, golden Miracle Whip salad dressing. I love life. I want to live. I love love. In his mind, on the cavalry, and my guy having fun. Until one night, I didn't know why, and now I'm on the run. Oh, let us kick her down, babe. Let us kick her down. Take her back to mama. Let us kick her down. Never play with the damn idiot.
whistle down.
I've been to the story of a redhead girl named Faye. She shot a pistol in the air and whistled in the air.
No new name around the old craft music hall, and a familiar face in many a cinema. My friend Frank McHugh, like most of Sturgeon's gentry, can be found in his spare time, traveling from camp to camp, entertaining our armed forces. Tell me, Frank, on those trips, how do you spend most of your time on the train?
I read.
You read? With all those showgirls to look at, you read? What do the other members of the company do?
I read. You care to divulge the nature of your reading matter?
The Drover Boys.
The Drover? Are they still active, the Drover Boys?
Oh, the dauntless Drovers go on and on. Only last night I finished The Drover Boys in a War Plant, or Frozen at Lockheed with Blowtorch and Overtime.
Is that their last book?
Oh, no, no. The last book is The Drover Boys in a Calcutta Delicatessen, or Watching the Swami Salam the Salami. I love to read about those fearless lads setting forth on another dangerous mission fraught with peril. Who knows what lies ahead as Tom Drover gathers his brothers together and says,
let's go down to the beach this evening, Dick. I saw the Grunion are running at Santa Monica.
How jolly, Tom. We'll give you five on the favorite.
You show, of course.
Can you bet for us? For the benefit of those who have not read earlier volumes in the Drover Boys series, there were three in number. As a baby, Dauntless Dick had fallen on a picket fence, and ever since then had suffered from a split personality. Fun-loving Tom. Oh, he always kept his ear on the alert and his teeth in a glass of water. One morning, Tom said,
Dick, do you suppose we shall ever hear from Ramona again?
As our old readers will remember, Tom Drover was attracted to Ramona Lightfinger, an old Indian shoplifter. This infatuation went back to Tom's early school days at Filthy Hall, when the sophomore class voted Ramona their favorite over a dish of Chow Mein girl, Cantonese style. Naturally, Ramona's sentimental attachment for Tom soon ripened into distress. This happened the night the lights went out at her home. In a moment of madness, Tom drew her over to the Davenport and said, sit there and muse. I shall run for a fuse. This Drover, too, had fallen in love. It happened the day he met Dora Glandhope in the delicatessen shop between a bowl of smoked salmon and a tub of pickled herrings. Rushing toward her, the devil makes her just cried out. Stop the big forward manner and his backward row. Dora walked out of the delicatessen with a firm step and 3 pounds of gefilte fish. When reconsidering, Dora turned and said with her soft, red lips, parted, well, shut my mouth. Dora's voice was changing. But her heart was true. This gratitude knew no bounds as he grabbed her hand and wrung it. She had loud hands. Soon, however, into their idyllic relationship, crept a sinister note.
Dora became infatuated with Dan Gaster, the bully who used to torment the Grover boys. He came to school every day, accompanied by a big, ferocious dog. I practiced the authority soon put a stop to when the dog graduated. But, of course, Dan Baxter continued to serve our heroes, as told in the Grover Boys and Flatboys, or Who Threw the Blibber at Captain Bibber. As he stooped over to pick up the blibber, Tom Grover received a welcome telegram from the West saying that Grandpa Grover, the icebox king, had left them a $2 million. Hurrah! Cried Tom.
Now we shall have enough money to buy corduroy uniforms for our yo-yo team.
Thus it was that the Grover boys broke their necks to get out west, as told in the Grover Boys at a Chiropractor's, or The Trail of the Lonesome Spine. On their way west, they were surrounded by savage redskins. Poisoned arrows and tomahawks were flying at them from all directions. It was hopeless, but Tom, fine, determined, manly Tom, looked the situation over coolly, and with determination cried, "Help!" Quick, dropped to his knees, he started shooting. Boxcars in the first row. Climbing aboard one of these boxcars, the drovers continued on their way until Dick caught sight of a designing woman. He looked at her quizzically and knit his brow. Well, he didn't exactly knit it. He knit one and purled one. A nice design. Which caused the designing woman to say,
"Let me give you a cure, Tony. I'll show y'all what they mean by the style of style."
In no time at all, the seductive stranger had driven Dick to distraction. A small salmon canning town, 20 miles distant. There, reaching for a mustard jar at a nearby hamburger stand, Dick mustered his nerve. And, Mama, your lips fascinate me. Do the lips so luscious, are they really so warm?
Why don't you all find out?
I will. You wait here, I'll go get a thermometer. And reaching for a piece of celery, which was also on the hamburger stand, Dick stalked out. As Dora Cranhope entered, embarrassed, Dick's fine blue blood surged to his cheeks and he said, "You like me in blue serge?" And in truth, the blue serge did reflect the shine in his eyes. For he could see Dora was jealous. Her Adam's apple was slowly turning green. Meanwhile, Dan Baxter's sister stood there, uncertainly, and scuffled her feet. Finally, she had a pair of nines, she asked for a new deal. And then realizing her number was up, she cried,
"Bingo!"
Turning to Dora, Dick whispered, "Nobly, how can I ever thank you?" Reaching demurely for a nearby garden hose, Dora slashed prettily, saying,
"Excuse me while I go and powder my nozzle."
People thought that in taking Dick back, Dora showed herself to have an open mind. Concerning Dora's open mind, the fun-loving Tom observed,
"She has a hole in the head."
Adding,
"Dan Baxter and his equally fiendish sister shall never show their faces again."
But the Baxters did show themselves again. And what they did to harm the Grover Boys will be told in another volume of this series entitled The Grover Boys in Hollywood, or At Sunset and Vine with Wolf and Stein. Where every evening the drover can be heard to sing, "We've got the stick, lucky, lucky stick. We've got the stick, and no more to our name. We need to look for two and two bits, for two and two bits, to squander on a day. Someday, no case have we, to sadness. We want a little girl to laugh at us. Although we're out of luck, there's no bad in us. We're only looking for a dame. For a dame, for a dame, for a dame, for a dame. By the light of the silver we knew. Oh, it's a day when a fishing goes away. For we're just waiting for a dame. But the army and navy has the best one. And
1913, beef is 28 cents a pound, and domestic servants are demanding $35 a month. 1913, income tax comes in with exemptions of $3,000 and $4,000. 1913, and men reading their Sunday newspapers can be heard muttering.
Parcel post system goes into operation. If I ever...
Did
I ever use that parcel post system? Oh, go tell your mother she wants it. Go anyway. Well, I'm busy.
Yes, Daddy. Ain't you glad to
get a little girl? Yes, of course. But this parcel post, if I ever send a package by parcel post, I'll hope...
What's parcel post?
What's the difference? It's no good.
Oh,
well, the post office department starts this parcel post service. And the day it starts, I look in the paper and I see a horse is running. His name is Natty Parcel.
And what did you want Natty Parcel to do, Dad?
Didn't you know, son? It was a hunt. Through Natty Parcel, Parcel Post.
Did he
win it? That's what the
post. Oh, for heaven's sake, Carrie, what are you saying to that son?
Well, I was just saying that I
thought... Don't talk, Daddy, don't talk. What are you doing in the shower? Go ahead, will ya?
If I had my way, forever there'd be a garden of roses for you and for me.
And a friend and the 1913 hit song, If I Had My Way. We reach now the point where Ken has his way.
When you ask yourself, as every good American must, whether you're doing all you possibly can to help win the war, when you ask that, here's something to remember. Your government is urging every one of us to cooperate wholeheartedly with the National Nutrition Program. Urging it because good health depends on good nutrition. And the nation needs strong, vigorous men and women at home to back up our fighting forces. So you're not doing all you can to hasten victory unless you're following the rules of good nutrition, eating the right food in the right amounts every single day. That's the only way to maintain the strength and stamina so essential in a nation of war. Here are the foods our government asks us to eat daily, the basic foods that'll keep America strong. Fruits and vegetables, especially green and yellow vegetables, tomatoes and citrus fruits, milk or cheese, meat, poultry, fish or eggs, butter or fortified margarine, enriched bread and cereals. Those, ladies, are the fighting foods you should serve your family every day. Many of them, you'll notice, are foods that taste particularly good in salads. And salads, remember, taste best with creamy, zestful Miracle Whip. Miracle Whip, the famous salad dressing millions prefer.
We lived a dream by a blue mountain stream in Nevada. Millions of stars were exclusively ours that night. Your heart was part of my heart in the heart of Nevada. Tulips divine were so willingly mine that night. There on our hilltop with nothing but heaven around us, we lost ourselves in a heavenly moonbeam till sunrise found us. We fell in love, so madly in love in Nevada. We lived a dream by a blue mountain stream that night. Craft
Music Hall job for this Thursday evening, friends. Next Thursday, same time in the same spot, we're all going to meet again. All being Trudy Irwin, John Scott Trotter and group, the music maids in Hal, the charioteers, and two special added starters of considerable importance. One of the cinema's newest comedians, Phil Silvers, and radio's poet laureate, Falstaff Openshaw. Well, we're loaded next week, aren't we? That's next Thursday. Until then, start getting in shape to help back the attack with the Third War Loan. Got your part to do. Do it as well as your Army, Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard are doing their part. Good night.